Log Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational programming. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes only tonight. We're so glad that you took time out of your schedule to join us tonight. We're certainly grateful for you being here. Thank you so very much for that. Tonight we've got a very exciting topic for you tonight, and we are going to, as our various co-hosts begin to press 1 on their dials, we're going to welcome them and certainly give them all an opportunity to come on board and tune in to tonight's broadcast. Tonight's topic is the implications of your excuses when God has called you to do something. And we're going to give you all a number of scenarios that you will definitely want to pay attention to. So as our various co-hosts are pressing 1, we're going to go ahead and welcome them and then get ready for tonight's broadcast. Let's go ahead and begin by welcoming Demon Slayer, a.k.a. Mr. Lorenzo. Demon Slayer, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure to have you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Walker, and let's get rocking and rolling on this hot topic.
All right, excellent. Okay, let's go ahead and bring in Ms. J, all the way from the Peachy State. Ms. J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Ms. J? Okay, perhaps Ms. J is not there. I'm sorry. Pass the roll.
Yes, it's great to be on the show, and I just echo the same thing that my wonderful brother, the Demon Slayer, said. Let's get rocking and rolling. And repeat that topic again. I came on a little late.
Okay, and tonight's topic, of course, is the implications of your excuses when God has called you to do something. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, the implications of your excuses when God has called you to do something. Brother Lorenzo, let me begin with you. Do you think that there are implications or consequences that we may face when God has actually called us to do something and say we're not doing it?
I think yes, there is. I think there's a lot of consequences in procrastinating when he tells you to do something. I think God is more direct with you when he tell you to do something or want to have that faith to go where he's trying to take you. His thoughts are not your thoughts, so to try to think and try to reason it out, that's not the right way to go, to just listen to him, do what he say you to do, and go directly to stick to his direction on what he tell you to do.
All right, certainly. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and welcome Ms. J to tonight's broadcast. Ms. J, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure and honor to have you on board with us.
Hello, everyone. Excuse me. And happy Friday. I'm glad to be on the show again. And I'm ready for the topic.
All right. So, Ms. J, here we're talking about the implications of your excuses when God has called you to do something. And this word excuse, let's examine this here. Are there any times that an excuse is legitimate, or is it a lie? What is it, Ms. J? Is it an excuse? What are excuses?
Well, you know, sometimes you could call it an excuse, but sometimes you do have some legit things. Somebody might ask you to do something, and you actually have to be somewhere already. You already made a promise, you know, to do something or to be somewhere. But an excuse basically is a reason, you know, given to justify why you can or cannot do something, you know, to lessen your, well, if it's true, bad excuse, to lessen your responsibility, just to give some kind of reason why you can't do it. But there are some legit now. They really are. But if you do a percentage, you find more people that's not a legit excuse. But, you know, when somebody want me to do something and it's legit, I be up front and just tell them, you know, I've already committed myself. I don't say, well, like, I don't know. You know, I say yes or no, I can do it. And I don't give excuses, you know. Either I can do it or I can't. So you don't have to go into any more, you know, wording to it. So that to me would be legit.
Okay, so let me ask you, Pastor, Mr. A, please stand by. Pastor Ro, let me ask you here. So now, is there a difference between when a friend may ask you to do something or a spouse, and God has clearly given you instructions to do something? Is there a difference?
Well, yeah, the way that I feel about that, and I'll just use one word, and that word is straightway. Straightway. You know, no lollygagging, no, you know, pondering. You do it straightway. When Jesus told the disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, you know, and they didn't say, well, I got to do this, and I got to go tell mom and dad. I got, you know, they dropped their nets, and straightway they followed him. So that's what we have to do. No excuses. You do exactly what he tells you to do without any excuses. Do it straightway.
Okay, but so, Pastor Ro, please stand by. Demon Clear. But we find ourselves making excuses. And let me ask you before I go on to that. Is there a difference in your opinion when somebody asks you to do something, your spouse or a significant other or your children, versus when, you know, God tells you to do something? Is there a difference? And what's the difference? Demon Slayer. Or perhaps Yeah, so when your significant other asks you to do something, is there a difference if you, as opposed to when God asks you to do something? I mean, here you get to see your significant other or your children, but you don't see God. But you know that, you know, he's commissioned you to do something. Is there really a difference?
No, I don't think so. I think it's one and the same. Because my significant other or my children asking to do something, I just try to be straight up with them. Like they said, you can do it, or you committed to something else, and then you just tell them straight up. You don't have to say, oh, okay, I'm going to do it, and then, I mean, and when it's time to do it, you got to make up an excuse. I don't think that's right. So just, I believe in just being up front and just telling the person, okay, you already got something planned, and then if you have something planned, just, and if they try to talk, you know, do it, I say, hey, look, I won't be able to do it, so stop trying to talk me into trying to do something that I've already committed myself to. In that case, then you'll be going against what you already promised. I would try to keep your word.
Okay, all right. Pastor Ro, how important is it to keep your word? How important is that?
What I mean is, it's just like my brother just said, it's very, very important to keep your word. You know, but there are extenuating circumstances between God and someone else. You know, if my wife is saying, honey, I need you to take out the trash right now. I would say, oh, okay, honey, just give me one second. I can't do it right now because I got to get this rope, this thought rope, whatever, you know, find some excuse. But when God tells you to do something, you know, you drop what you're doing and do it straightway. I think
okay.
That's a good way to. I don't know, a good thing to do exactly when, how, and where God tell you to do something. Because it's consequential when you don't do what God say. Look what happened to Jonah when he tried to make the excuses. I ain't going there, Christian and folks, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what God did to him.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Miss J, don't we have free will? Do we have to do what God has asked us to do? Do we have to do that if we have free will?
You have free will, yes, but what God asks you to do may help you to gain some great blessings and greatness, you know, from what he needs you to do. Because usually what God, but let me back up a minute. How
okay.
do people, I mean, I know how I know, and I know you're going to ask me how do I know, but how do people know that God is asking them to do things, to do whatever?
Yeah.
You asked about the family. You know, I was just thinking, a family situation to me would be, you know, family been talking about the husband not making enough money, and they trying to figure it out. And maybe the husband say, well, I might need to get another job. But then he pray on it, whatever. I feel God, if he need one, God then would speak. Because he's trying to help the goodness for the family, to help the purpose of the man of the house to take care of his family. And he probably speak to him, I see, and say, yes, you do need to get that job. Step out of whatever comfort zone you working in now and go for a job where you can make more money. You know, then God was speaking to you then. But how do people know, you know, different little things that God is actually asking you to do these things? I feel if it's something to help others or out of the goodness, God-like traits and to help others and to, even to help family or to help yourself, because to help yourself, you're going to automatically help others a lot of times. You know, I think anything that's in that parameter is God is asking you to step out and do it.
All right, we're going to certainly ask. And I do want to go back to that question, Ms. J, and that's a very good question. Demon Slayer, let me begin with you. How do you know that God asks you to do something? So if somebody comes to you that's in the church, the deacon, and says, well, would you usher next week? You know, would you serve to be one of the ushers next week? And it's not your week to usher. So are you telling that deacon no if you say no, or are you telling God no?
I just can't do it. It really doesn't depend on if it's a deacon or pastor or whoever it is. I mean, if I can't do it, I just can't do it. That's the way I see it.
All right. Pastor Roll, what about you? If the preacher asks you and you can sing, you want, you know, hey, I'd like you to sing with the male's chorus next week. The preacher's asking you to sing, and you do have a good voice. So if you're telling him no, are you telling God no? What is it?
Well, I don't think you're doing, you know, I mean, it's motives, you know. You know, you have to have, you know, some motive for everything. If something comes up and you can't do it, you know. But I do know there's a voice, you know, you have to really listen to the voice within, you know, the Holy Spirit. You know, it'll speak, he will speak to you and let you know, you know. But the only thing I just wanted to say is a lot of times we don't do what God tells us to do. You know, we can end up 40 years out in the desert. You know what happened to the children of Israel when they were disobedient, and Moses was the pastor preacher, and they didn't do what he said. They murmured and complained, you know, and you know the consequences of that. So you got to really hear. God has put the third person in us so that we can listen to see, hear what the Spirit says unto you. / the church.
Okay. All right, Ms. J. So here again, Ms. J, you said you know that I would ask the question, and I am on it now. You said it, and that was the next question in line. You know, sometimes people say, how do you know that you're in love? And you say, I know that I'm in love. It's just the feeling that's over me, and they give their various reasons or excuses to be in love with the person that might be the wrong person. So how do you really know that you know that God really asked you to do something? How do you really, really know? Or does anyone really actually know?
You know, maybe not, but whenever I have a notion of something I need to do, or if a person asks me to do something, right then, if I have to answer them right, and if I know the answer, like we said, I'll say nay or yay, yes, I can't. But if I'm a busy person like I try to be, I might tell them what I have to check my schedule. That's not an excuse. That's a fact, you know. So sometimes you have to do that. And if that case, I like to pray on big things when I have to step out and do something that you know, I don't normally do. Okay, for example, if the pastor was to ask me, well, Jeanette, can you be the mistress ceremony of the Women's Day? You know, I've never done it before. I'm like, well, Pastor, I might say, if I've never done it, let me pray on it. Let me get back with you. Call that excuse or not, because I don't want to tell him no, and I don't want to tell him yes, because of fear, maybe, and because I'm not familiar with it. And I pray on it to see, God, is that what you want me to do? Is that what I need to do? Do I have something to express or tell? And I listen to him. And I'm praying that, you know, that I get the word from him. So that's how I would know. But I do feel anytime it's aligned with God's work, God is asking you to do it. Sometimes if you can't do it, though, God is an understanding God now. If you already got your commitment, you got a vacation plan, you done spent thousands of dollars, and you know you're going to be there at church that Sunday, God understand that. He no hold that against you.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Okay, so, Demas, I want to bring it back up here again. Okay, so if Ms. J said you're going to pray about it, and I get it, you're going to pray about this. So you're hoping, you know, they actually be on program next weekend, and so you're going to pray about this. So when do you get, the church has to make its program and to decide yay or nay that you're going to be on the program. You have this talent. So now they're waiting, and you don't even get back with them until that day of the service that you're not going to do it because you think you didn't get an answer from God. So how do you know when you get the answer from God? Because you've been praying about it.
Well, if I've been praying about it, well, I'm not the type of person to just tell you at the day of, I'll let you know ahead of time. I'm more of a chess player type of moving type of player. But if that's my strong point to sing, if my schedule is up, yeah, I would do it. You know, it's lining up with God. That's what I would do.
Okay, all right. So then, based on that notion right there, and we got to go a little fast because I'm already a quarter of the way through the program, and we got a lot to cover tonight. So based on that, Demon Slayer, we're going to bring in Ms. Cassandra in just a moment. So based on that, Demon Slayer, then the question becomes, okay, if you have this talent, where did the talent come from in the first place, Demon Slayer?
It comes from God.
Okay, so if God gave you this talent, and now he wants you to use the talent to glorify his purpose, his will, and now you're available next weekend to sing, why do you have to pray about it? Or do you?
Man, well, if it's God-given talent, I mean, I can still pray. I'm pray about it and sing at the same time. I sing to my God's delight. You know, whatever God's given me the talent to do, I use it.
Okay.
So I'll be there. I'll be there that Sunday.
Okay. All right, Ms. J, I want to come back to you. So I want to be able to ask you that question, Ms. J. You say you're going to pray about it. But they got to make up the program, and they need you to tell them by Monday. Today is Friday. We need an answer for Monday so we can make the program because the program is published Monday evening.
Okay. It don't take all that time to pray. I let them know Friday night, you know. And I'm praying about something that I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm not familiar with, you know. But if I was given a God-given talent and I was available, I'd be more than happy to do it, you know.
Okay.
But something where you're stepping out that comfort zone, you got to make sure that's what, you know, God intended for you to do, especially when you don't feel comfortable doing it. I'm just saying, you know.
Okay. All right. So, Ms. Dave, on that notion then, let me ask you the question. So if a person has a talent that God has given them to speak in the church, to pray in the church, to sing in the church, to teach in the church, and somebody is asking them to teach, and they are available, and they're always saying no. Are they saying no to that person who asked them, or are they really saying no to God?
If they continuously say it like that, every time somebody asks them to do something in the church, they're saying no to God because they was blessed with these gifts, and they're not using them. It was a continuous no. They was blessed and they not using it. And you know the old saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
All right.
You know.
Right. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Cassandra, welcome to tonight's program. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and God bless you and everyone.
All right. So, Ms. Cassandra, if you were the minister of the church and you noticed that one of your parishioners has a talent to sing and you've asked them to sing and they've always told you yes, but now another member, the head deaconess, comes in and she asks this lady to sing. Now, she never says no to you, but she says no all the time to the head deaconess. What's the difference between you? Are you any better than the head deaconess because you're the minister?
No, I am not. Word says that we should not think highly of ourselves, and we ought. Also, it could be an issue with the lady and the deaconess. Or sometimes people try to win brownie points with the pastor to be seen or whatever, you know, or want to be close, you know, that type of thing. But, no, I am no different than no one else. Matter of fact, the word says we are the least.
Okay, so then when that, and there may be strife, you're right, between that deaconess and that person who's the singer. And so, but if you were the deaconess, would you continue to ask that person to sing?
If they keep saying no, then I wouldn't ask them. I would pray to God and see, you know, that God would show me what's the problem with this person, or ask that person directly, you know, sister or whatever, you have a talent God has given you. Why you don't use it, or why are you saying no? Is there a problem? I mean, are you shy or that type of thing? You know, try to find out what's wrong or why that person keeps saying no.
Well, how are they shy when they sing for the pastor? They just don't sing to you. You know, they'll sing when the pastor asks them, but they won't sing when you ask them. So how are they shy?
Well, then you're right about that part. No, they're not shy at that point. Well, then I would ask, is there a problem between us, you know, as to why you won't sing? When I ask you to sing, but when pastor asks you to sing, you say yes. I mean, you know, is there something there that I'm missing?
Okay, all right. And she said, "Well, you know, it's my choice. I can sing for whoever I want to sing for." So, would you take that personally if she says that to you? You know, I'll sing for whoever I want to sing for. I mean, what's the big deal? Why are you bothering me about that?
Yeah, well, I could take it a little personal because at that point, I would really think that there's something that is between her and myself that I'm unaware of, or that person probably just don't like me for whatever reason. And I'll be honest with you, that has happened. And I'm going to say this real quickly, that there was a young lady that I was praying for, me and some others were praying for, and she got her breakthrough when I got on my knees and got down on that floor with her. And she told me, she said, Cassandra, I want to tell you something. I said, what is it, baby? She said, I want to tell you that for a long time I didn't like you, all because of I was close to my children's aunt at the time. And well, she's still alive, but at that time I didn't have any children, but we were close. And she felt that I had taken her friend from her because they were friends first. But now me being in the family and I have children, you understand what I'm saying? It was different. That's why we always hung out, because then they're cousins and, you know, you bring family together. But for 18 years almost, she didn't care. She didn't like me for that reason. But that particular night, she asked me for forgiveness, and she got her breakthrough.
Wow.
I even offered her to move into our home with her children. And because she didn't like me, she did not move into my home. She sat in her car in a park, and she got her children taken away from her by her blood sister, called the authorities on her. And after that part, then she got her kids back a couple of years later.
Wow. Well, that is deep. That is some deep stuff right there. That is some deep, deep stuff right there. All right, we're certainly going to ask you, while you're listening to your one-hour spiritual inspirational program, we have several scenarios that we have here that we're going to be presenting throughout tonight's topic. If you want to speak to one of the issues, press 1 on your dial. We will entertain you by calling the first 6 numbers on your phone. Okay, otherwise, we enjoy you. We hope you'll enjoy listening in. Now, I have some friends who personally that I know have talents. They have talents to speak, to give praise reports, testimonies, to sing, to give a focus point. They have tremendous talents to do these things. Even some of the preacher friends of mine that I know personally, I've often asked to even preach on the show. You know, so what happens is I find that some of these same people have said no, and others have asked them, and they said yes. And so then it got to the point where people begin to recognize some people's attitude, and they didn't even bother to even ask her to sing. And now she wonders, why isn't nobody asking me to sing? Ms. J, let me ask you, could there be implications, like in our show topic tonight, the implications of your excuses when God has called you to do something? Could there be implications now for this woman? What are your thoughts?
Yes, excuse me. Yes, there could be implications. Sometimes people just don't want to do it. The devil, he's still stirring around. They just don't want to do it for you. I'm going to use you for example. People ask you to be on the show. You know, they just don't care to do it for Dr. Walker. But if Dr. Johnny Macker asked him, there'll be more than thrill. So the implication might be jealousy or just, you know, I don't know what the thing might be, but there are some, you know. But people, like, they talk about this lady in the church. me personally, I'm just the chairperson of the little group trying to get people to sing. I'm a no-drama person. I'm going to keep it moving because God done blessed so many people to sing. And if she don't want to sing and share her gift and blessings, so be it. You know, she'll see all that at Judgment Day. I ain't got nothing to do with her. I got to keep it moving and help whoever I can help to reach their blessing.
Okay, but would you continue to ask that person? Like, I got to the point
no.
where it's like,
no.
there is no
I'm
going to
ask you 2 times at the most. I might go 3, but that's it. I ain't no beg you. You know what? Some people do want you to beg them.
Yes.
They want to think that they are greater than anybody else, and they want people to beg them. And they want the right person to ask them. Like you said, the preacher would ask, and she'll say, yeah. But Miss Jackson asked, she'll say no. But Miss Jackson is a peon. You know, it's the pastor asked me. And Miss Jackson, no, I'm not doing it because she asked me. You know, that's the way people are.
Okay, so then, Ms. J, do you think, okay, so who are they? Are you not using your talent for God's purpose, but it's only, it depends on who asked me, you know.
She's using her talent, and she's using it when she thinks she should use it. God wants her to use it, be joyful all the time.
Okay,
in the invitation that you were able to do it, but she's going on her own understanding timing on it.
All right. So, Pastor Rowe, let me bring you in here. Ms. J, please stand by, Pastor Rowe. So the question becomes, okay, so now are there implications? What could possibly be some of the implications when God has called you to do something and you're not doing it? What about that? What are the implications could be? Like the children of Israel you mentioned earlier. They ended up in the wilderness for 40 years when they could have been out of there in less than 2 weeks. 11 days, they said, but 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That is ridiculous because they didn't do what God asked them to do. So what are implications? People are out here struggling, Pastor Rowe, because they're not doing what God told them to do.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dr. Walker, I've got a lot of respect for you. I'm just going to tell you straight up. You are a pastor. You're a leader of the Blog Talk Radio. You're out trying to help people. So, like if you said, Brother Waro, I need some serious help. I got these people in the Bahamas or Philippines or whatever, YMCA or whatever. Could you let us, what can you do to help us, you know? Da 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 da. And then, okay, I know you're the pastor of Blog Talk Radio Show, but another person I got respect for, that's the Demon Slayer. You know, I mean, I never met him, but I know that he's faithful. He's on these shows, and I got a connection with him, you know, as far as the military is concerned. Sister Marjorie Cross, she's the one that invited me to be a part of this show, you know. So if you need any help at all, Demon Slayer, say, hey, Brother Roe, Sister Marjorie, hey, Brother Roe, man, we want to help Pastor Jesse Walker with this YMCA or whatever. You know, let me and you get together, man, and give $1,000 and give this. I said, okay, Demon Slayer, okay, Marjorie Cross. And Sister Jay, she's a woman of great wisdom. I always follow what she say, hook, line, and sinker, because I know the Holy Spirit does in her life. So that's my thoughts on that. We're going to do what we can to help you, Dr. Walker, because you have a need through other people to help other people. And God, you put you in a position so we can support you, hold your arm up. And as long as your Moses' arms were held up by Aaron and her, God bless, and they won the wars, they won the victory. So we're going to win the victory with you. But whatever you need, Dr. Walker, we're going to help your brother. We're going to keep your arms up. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Well, I certainly appreciate those comments, Pastor Roland. I want you all to know that, you know, each and every one of you all that come on the show that take time out, your precious commodity of time, it is so graciously appreciated by me. And those of you all, and you know who you are, that sponsor, you know, the $2.50 a week or the $30 every 3 months or the $60 for the 6 months or the $110 or the $420 for the year for business advertising, I certainly appreciate that because it goes into a pot, and that's how we're able to help. And, Pastor Roe, you were on the line the other day. I called you late one evening because my heart was, and I want to share this testimony with you all. I think it's important. Because he just triggered something in my mind. I take no credit for this here because the credit belongs to all of us, which includes all of you all who sponsor out here. And some of you all are not even tuned in, meaning press one to go into the queue. But you also are sponsors. And whether it's $2, it doesn't matter the amount. The $2.50 that people subscribe to every week, that goes into a pot of God's glory, and it becomes multiplied to help people. I called Pastor Roe. I was very troubled in my spirit because I was at the YMCA, and today is, Friday, and this was Tuesday. And so I saw all of these children, had to be over 500 kids, and they were in a summer youth program. And so I asked the executive director of the program, I actually asked my wellness coach first. I said, I wonder if there's, you know, a summer youth program. I'm pretty sure parents have to pay for this. So I asked them to give me a breakdown of how it works, and they did. And they said some of them get scholarships, but most of them, it was an area where the parents, I know they are struggling. So I said, well, what could this organization do to help? Now, you know, maybe we can help one or two or three or four kids with a supplement to assist the parent. So she went ahead, my wellness coach, and presented that to the executive director. And they called me, they got a group of people, and they called me in and asked if I would take time to speak with them. I did. And they say, well, we have a grandmother that's been trying to get in. The program is a 9-week program. But 2 weeks had already gone by. And so you're seeing all these kids, and I just assume that there are some more kids out here who would probably shouldn't. They not only would want to be in that program, but they need to be in that program because it helps to modify behaviors. In the world we live in today, we need a lot of help. We need a lot of help. And if we can get to our youth, that is the key. And so they say, we have a grandmother. We don't know the mother and the father may be in jail or on drugs, but the grandmother's raising these young kids, and she has two boys, and she's crying. She's crying out for some help. She's crying out for help. And they gave me a figure of what the program would cost, like $612.50 per child. And they asked if we could do at least these two that the grandmother had. And so this was Tuesday. By Wednesday, I met with them. This is when I met with them in their office on Wednesday. Tuesday, I presented the information. By Wednesday, they asked if they could meet with me. And then I said, well, I went by faith and said, well, we'll get a check to you no later than Friday. No later than Friday. Got on the phone and talked with some of our staff, volunteers, and I called without hesitation Pastor Rowe. And Pastor Rowe is a man who, you know, by faith, and I thank him and I thank all of you all out here, Pastor Rowe didn't hesitate to give a sizable donation, you know, I mean a sizable donation towards that particular event. He's already a sponsor. But to go over and beyond, to make that sacrifice, that's what God is asking us, all of us, to do. And I'm not pushing this here to say we want you to just keep sending money to our program. This was for a specific targeted earmarked project. And let me tell you something. When Pastor Rose said, no, it gave me hope, and that's why I looked at him as this mentorship. It gave me hope to not give up because I was so compassionate. It almost put me in tears that a grandmother's raising her small grandchildren, and these two little boys, their behavior, they warrant being in this program. And I got an email from the executive director today that said that once that grandmother heard that her two grand boys were going to be in the program, she couldn't stop crying. She couldn't stop crying. And the executive director says he's going to make us put it on his calendar to try to be on the program one day next week. So, Pastor Rowe, for those who may be listening to that particular story about how the compassion came upon me, and it came obviously upon you and others who have contributed out here, what would you say to that grandmother if you knew she were listening tonight, who she could not stop crying because somewhere along the way she was praying. She was praying. And God used us. He used not just me. He used us. He used Demon Slayer with his sponsorship. He used you, Pastor Rowe. He used you, Miss Jane. He used you, Miss Cassandra, you know, and others out here to help that grandmother. So, Pastor Rowe, what would you say for this lady who couldn't stop crying because her prayer was answered by God's people? What would you say, Pastor Rowe?
Well, I would just, just encourage her, you know, just to, I'm glad, you know, with gratitude to be able to help a person, you know, and it's not, and I'll be quick to say, it's not how much you give, it's the quality of your gift, like the widow's mite. You know, some people give out of the great abundance that they have. But this one lady, she gave her everything that she had. And God told her that she had given more because she gave it from her heart, you know. So it's not the amount. It's, the, you know, just doing all that you can do in Jesus' name. So I would just encourage people because you're going to reap what you sow. You know, no man can sow something and you don't reap it back. You know, it might not be back monetarily, but it could be back improvement of your health, so on and so forth, you know. So when all is said and done and the dust settled, we're going to keep on holding your arms up, you know. And I know the right, you know, Moses and her, you know, Aaron and her helped Moses' arms up, you know. But I would rather be on the side where the heart is, brother. And I just wanted to let you know, and I'll speak for everybody on the Blog Talk Radio Show listening right now, that we're going to hold your arms up, period. In Jesus' name, I put that in Jesus' name. We're going to hold your arms up, and God is going to wipe away all of your tears, Dr. Walker, because I know you care about suffering humanity. Thank you, Dr. Walker.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, and I have to also say this part. I know that many of you all, Ms. Shave, Demon Slayer, you know, we're all, Ms. Cassandra, you all are contributors. And the thing about it is you're sponsors. And there were two ladies who just started listening to my show probably within the last 2 weeks. I was able to call upon these two ladies, and one of them heard the story. And do you know that lady set out, one of them set out to surprise me and sent a contribution. And, you know, I got the notification, and it was a surprise. And the lady, you know, it's not... And when God is doing something, calling you to do something, God is not going to beg you to do it. He's going to align you for his purpose. And, yes, we do have free will that we can say no, but there will be implications when we don't do it. And, Pastor Rowe, you talked about Jonah. Let me tell you something. When Jonah ran from God, after God took him through everything he took him through, then let me tell you something. When Jonah came out of the belly of that whale, Jonah ran to Nineveh to do what God commissioned him to do. And I'm telling you all, I love what Pastor Rose said. It's not the amount that you're giving. It's the quality of your giving, the service for humanity. And so that's like those two people also joined in. And do you know, we have people that say they're going to do something to help, and they come on, and they never, all they are words, words. And let me tell you something. You can't fool God. It is better that you say nothing or remain in silence, and this goes for anything, than to give God your word that you're going to do something, and then you're full of deceit. Ms. Jay, talk to us about that. When God calls you to do something, and you're trying to camouflage, couldn't there be implications of that, Ms. Jay?
Yes, there could be. God knows your heart, and you should know your heart. And when you say you're going to do anything that's in God's will and you don't do it, you know,
yeah,
you will have repercussions in it, you know. So I don't understand why people, you know, they give these excuses where they know they are nothing but excuses and they lied and they had no intention of doing. But God knows your heart, and he knew in the beginning that you really didn't mean it, you know. He knows
right.
your heart, but he don't want you to have that kind of heart. You know, he wants you to have a loving and giving and kind heart. But we still get those excuses.
You know, someone said it earlier on the show that the lies ultimately catch up with you. And if you don't believe that, just look at the world events, something even that took place within the last 24 hours. You know, people who nobody is above, should not be above the law. And then when you get all of this here, when deceit is out there, when you're lying, it ultimately catches up with you because you have the laws of God. And one of the things that I have come to learn, and it's in the Bible, it talks about a lying heart. That is an abomination to God. God hates the lying heart. He just cannot tolerate lying. So it is better that you do not make a promise that you're going to do something for God, you know, than to say you're going to do something and then just don't do it. And then because we're dealing with humanity, with each other, you know, it's not like, well, God, I'm going to do this here in my time. God says, do it. Listen, I'm going to tell you all right now. My mother prophesied from the time I was 5 that you're going to be this preacher. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be. She called me Angel Boy. I don't want to be called Angel Boy because I didn't want to be good like that. And I'm thinking you got to be perfect. And let me tell you something. She just kept prophesying. You're going to be, this is what you're going to be. And it's like, Mama, no, please, don't even call me Angel Boy. I don't like that. And then it was like she never even got to hear my sermon. Well, she did. I was 8th grade president. I didn't want to be the 8th grade president. I was shy. Miss J, that's for real. I was shy. So we were at this private school. We went to private school. And so the principal called my mom and says, the class voted for your son to be president. And he said, no. And I'm like, and I meant no, Miss J. But lo and behold, I had no power, Miss J. My mother had the power. She said, oh, he's going to be the president. And sure enough, I was the president of the 8th grade class. And which means the 8th grade president had to give a speech before 3,000 people. I'm not getting up and talking before 3,000 people. I'm only, what, 8th grade? What about? I'm only about 12 because I skipped 3 grades. I'm 11 or 12. And now I got to give a speech, and my sister, I was so grateful for my sister because I used to be able to influence her, even though she got me in trouble sometimes by telling on me. That was my sister, a year apart. And I failed 1 year because I could not go to school. I was hit by a car and could not go to school, fractured skull, broken ribs, chest. They just gave me up for dead. But God had a purpose for me. God had a purpose for me. And let me tell you, so now I don't skip 3 grades. I'm about 11 or 12 in the 8th grade. So I'm advanced. And so now I'm just a little boy. And they want me to be the president. I got to think about all these leadership things. And lo and behold, the time came. They got me a sponsor that groomed me. And I'm so shy, I didn't even want to talk to girls. Yes, I liked girls, but I didn't want to talk to girls. You don't know what to say because I was that shy. But God had a purpose because somebody saw something in me, you know, that says he could do it. And I'm like, all these other boys in here, why they can't ask them? Even the girls in there, ask them. So lo and behold, and I'm going to make this short for you all. Because to show you, when God has given you something, it's for you, and you can't say no. And so, lo and behold, the time came when I had to speak before that 3,000, over 3,000 people in the church, the whole group of people. And my sister, a seventh grader, they had to march behind the eighth graders. Well, I would march first because I was the president. And I told my sister, I say, we are not marching. We are not marching. We're not standing up, and we're not even going down there. And I'm not even doing this speech. Now, I'm the older brother by a year, and I'm thinking, okay, she's going to listen. And my sister agreed. She said, well, if you're not marching, I'm not marching. If you're not going down there to do your speech, you know, I'm going to sit right back here with you. Miss J, I thought I had the power. So they sit the parents down on the front row. So when they told us when this chord plays on the organ or the piano, then that's when we're supposed to stand up from the back and march down the front. So my sister and I, we're powerful. So we thought. We done made our decision. And we conspired, just the two of us. We didn't care about the rest of the class. I'm the president. I'm not doing the speech. I made up my mind. Well, Miss J, I had power, past role, for probably 30 seconds or so, I thought. Demon Slayer, 30 seconds at the most. My mother stood up when she heard that she had heard word somehow that we were going to defy her orders to march, because she told us, you're going to be in that group. Somehow or other, she felt that we weren't going to do it, because I was defiant like that at the time, right? Because I didn't want to do it. But when that chord struck and that organ played for our cue to stand up, my sister and I didn't stand up. Everybody else stood up. But then when my mother stood up and she looked back, my sister and I jumped up simultaneously and ran in line. So, Miss J, help me understand that. You know, that power of that mother's look, that was like a death threat, that we jumped and ran in line, and I gave the most powerful speech that night. What happened, Miss J? When God gives you something and you make excuses, the implication, because I knew she was going to kill me that night. Miss
right,
J, talk to
right.
me. Talk to me, Miss J.
Because you don't want the implications that can happen. God, you know, the implications of how you thought your mom was going to treat you and all, but you knew you could do it. You basically had that fear. That's all yours was, that fear. But once your mama was behind you, she made sure that you do what you needed to do, stuff started vanishing away. God, you know, you do these things and God takes control. Let me give a little quick testimony myself. I think I've told y'all this before. I am a stutterer. I used to stutter so bad that I could barely talk. I didn't want to speak to nobody. I didn't want to do nothing. But my parents, like you, and my oldest brother, they said, we're going to work on this thing. And so I started working on it. And then they encouraged me, or should I say they made me, and I did it in church, speak in church. They made me become mistress of ceremonies. I used to read the announcements, and I used to stutter a little bit. But as time went by, with God's grace, I started learning how to have more confidence in myself, how to project my words, how to say things. And now, you know, that was my calling. God knew that, Jeanette, you can speak. You don't have to stutter with it. You can do it. Work on it. Work on it. And now I used to give speeches all the time. People never knew that I was a stutterer. And you found a lot of great people that give speeches used to be stutterers, but you get that faith and you believe in God and you can do what you need to do. That's all I got to say. And I'm so thankful. I still do it sometimes when I get a little nervous.
Wow. And Miss Jane, I've never heard you stutter on this program or anywhere else. And we're grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. So sometimes people have to, God had to force him. He had to push Jonah out there. And let me tell you something. I think that was one of the best things that could have happened for my life, was that my mother said, yes, he's going to be the eighth grade president. Because sometimes we don't understand what God's purpose is for our lives. And then when somebody sees something in us and they say, we're going to pray, not only pray, we're going to push, we're going to encourage you to go forth. We're going to encourage you to go forth. And so as a result of that, I now speak before thousands of people. And yes, I still, Miss J, I still get nervous. Demon Slayer, I still get nervous. Miss Cassandra, Pastor, I still get nervous. But guess what? You said God takes over. He takes over. I would have never had a radio broadcast that goes around the world had I, you know, back in that day. But you go through this tribulation stage, this trial stage, where all you got to do is be a willing vessel to allow God to use you when God has been the one. And Demas, as you said it earlier, the talent comes from God. So if you're sitting on your talents out there and God has commissioned you, he has charged you to do something, and somebody asks you to do something for the glory of God, not to please man, you better be careful when you're saying no. Miss Jay, talk to us. There in here. Miss Jay?
Yes.
So
what you say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the implications. When somebody is saying no, if someone, you know, that's asking you, you know, it's just like I asked Miss Cassandra one day. I've never met her personally. But just hearing her on the air, she came forth and she preached one week. She preached. And it was just because God put it in my spirit. Miss Cassandra, you remember that?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
Tell our audience, have I ever met you personally?
Sure haven't.
Okay, and so it was just that you came into my spirit. I say, this lady, God put it in my spirit to, I think I even asked you on the air. Did I?
No, I don't think you asked me on the air.
But I called you afterwards and asked you if you would speak, or I spoke to Mr.
Right.
Demon Slayer, let me bring you in. Do you remember how it went?
Yeah, I remember. Went,
okay.
Because you had asked me first, and then I had got in contact with Cassandra.
You sure did. You sure did. And she spoke on that show. And I come to find out.
She wasn't mad, so well, I'm going to ask her anyway. I would ask her anyway. When I asked her, she said she had a problem with it. So
that's revealing the talent that God has given her. Right.
Yeah,
okay, we're going to ask all of you to stand by. We're almost out of time here now. So let me bring you here. Pastor Roll, quickly here, 15 seconds less, everybody, because we got to move on. When God, we're talking about the implications of your excuses when God has called you to do something. Instructions from God to Adam and Eve. Now look at the implications of what happened that effectuated change all over the universe and everything, all of creation, because Adam and Eve failed. They failed to follow God's instruction, and look at the implications that it has hurt humanity. But it's only by God's grace and mercy that we will be redeemed back to him. But look at what we have to go through because they failed. And these are the implications. Now, do we want that in our lives? Pastor Roll, quickly here. Share with us, 15 seconds or less.
Okay, I'll just say this. I'll just say this to you. Without saying anything, I would just say amen to what you did. But I want to go back to Sister Jay when she said, you know, she knew her difficulties and everything, and she said, work on it. Work on it, you know. And also, I'll say this to you. God went to Moses, and Moses, he said, I can't talk. I can't talk. He had a stammering tongue. He stuttered when he talked, you know. But God told him, don't you worry about it. I got somebody who can be your spokesman. And that was Aaron. Aaron was the spokesman for Moses. So obedience, you do what God say, and he'll make a way. He'll make a way for you. Just trust God, trust God, trust God, and do what he say. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right, quickly here, Ms. Cassandra, I'm going to bring you here 15 seconds or less because we got to go fast, and I want to cover some of these scenarios. What about the people? Some people have talents. They can sing, they can preach, they can teach, but they don't use them to serve God. What message would you give them, Minister Cassandra, in 15 seconds or less?
Well, if they have a gift, I would encourage them to go forth. Because there are people that out here that are waiting, and the word says that there are people that's waiting, you know, for the sons and daughters of God to deliver the word, deliver prayer, that type thing. To bring deliverance.
Go ahead, finish your thought, please.
Oh, okay, to bring deliverance, and it will make a better world as well.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Jay, quickly here, 15 seconds or less. What about the people who God gives them children, but you never give them back to God or even take them to church to be trained of God. What about those people? What message do you have for them, Ms. Jay? Quickly, please.
I say train up a child in the way which you want them to go. If you want them to believe in God and have faith, put them in the church or put them in Christ.
Amen.
Right? Because if you don't, they're going to be on your heart and you're on your mind later.
Forever.
Because you fail to do the instructions of God, and these are the implications you all. Okay, Pastor Roll, quickly here. We're going to get back to some of you all. We got to go real fast. What about that marriage where it's unequally yoked? And now that woman or that man is praying, God, please change my spouse. You know, I've been with them for 5 years and they're abusive, but, you know, that spouse don't even believe in God. So you got with them anyway because he was cute. Now, Pastor Roll, what happened? What are the implications?
Well, the implication is he's asking, you know, to change, you know, that woman. But maybe he need to pray and ask God to change him, you know, so that he have a better perspective. You know, don't change other, change me in the way I perceive and adapt to things. And God can change you so you can see things from a different angle and a different perspective. That's my thoughts on that, Dr. Walker. Back to you.
Thank you. Demas, let me bring you in here quickly, 15 seconds or less. What about the now the man is saddened because he didn't appreciate his wife that God gave him. And now he finds himself, he was abusive to her. And now he finds himself so much in love with her, but she left him. And now he's all alone because he didn't appreciate her. What message do you have, Demon Slayer?
That's a hard one. When somebody leave you and you go through so much trauma and stuff like that, some things are hidden and a lot of things are in your heart. You got to be forgiven of and you got to forgive. So that's a very hard one to go through. You go through so many things and the devil can play with your mind and all kind of things, so I can really speak on that. So, yeah, you're going to go through a lot. That devil going to be constantly on your back. So you just got to stay prayed up. That's what I think.
All right. Michelle, I want to bring you in here. Now, what about this selfish behavior? You're always wanting help from other people, but you're never offering help to others. Speak to that person out there, Miss Jay. You're always looking at it, making it about yourself, but you're never willing to try to help somebody else. Speak to that, Miss Jay, please. 15 seconds or less.
A selfish person, I don't see their reward in heaven. So if you can do anything to help somebody, you need to do it, because one day you might be in that position where you need help.
All right. And just before we go to the next one, one of the other persons that it came into my spirit, this lady was having it financially rough. But, you know, I asked her if she wanted to renew. And, you know, she couldn't do the whole year. But she says, you know, Dr. Walker, she was so impressed with what we do. She renewed her subscription for $30, for $30. And let me tell you, to me, that was like the widow's mite that she gave what she could to renew. And every little bit, God multiplies it, you all. He multiplies it. Let me go on here now, because Ms. Cassandra, I want to bring you in here. And this scenario, quickly, 15 seconds left. God gave you the job of your desires, but you constantly make excuses for your tardiness or lateness. What about that person, Ms. Cassandra? What is the message? 15 seconds or less, please.
Well, if God gives them the opportunity to get a job such as that, that they need to really pray and ask God, is that really they want it in their heart? Because if it's not, then they're going to continue to keep on being late, being tardy, having excuses. And they need to pray, God, is this your will for me? Instead of them picking and then just, you know, going with it that way.
All right. Pastor Roll, quickly here, 15 seconds or less, please. You're always criticizing others, but never seeing the in your own eye versus the mote in your brother's eye. What message do you have for that person?
Well, I think you hit it when you say, you know, people looking, you know, at the speck in their own eye, other people's eyes, and they got a 2x4 in their own eye, you know. But when all is said and done, you know, we got to do it the Jesus way, you know, give until it hurts. You know, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there's a law of reciprocity. You reap what you sow. And as the scripture says, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing a precious seed, shall doubtless come rejoice and bring his seeds with him. So a lot of times we have to sow seeds, but water with our tears. And we water with our tears, God's got a way of reproducing it So you can have a great harvest. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. Who wants to close us out tonight? Volunteer and close out with maybe a 30, 40-second thought. Any volunteer? Ms. Cassandra, you want to close us out in about 15 seconds? All right, perhaps not. Let me go here. This last one here, Ms. J, this last one here. God gave you good parents. Speak to this one here. God gave you good parents, but you fail to listen to them because you have a degree that makes you think you're smarter than your parents. Speak to that, Ms. J, please. Now they got a degree, so they think they're smarter than their parents because they're educated. Speak to that, Ms. J.
I put you on this earth, and I taught you all you need to know, and I help you to get your education. Now, you might have the book smarts, but I still got a lot of wisdom. You know, I'm speaking for the mother. And I end with this verse, Matthew 6:33. But ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you in return. So, you know, we need to go out there and seek God first and everything that we want in life or things that we need. God is there to take care of us for all things. And that's what we need to remember. But we have to do for him first. Seek him first.
On that note, Ms. J, Dr. Walker,
to add to what my sister Jay said, I'll say to you, you know, you might have your master's degrees and doctorate degrees, but I tell you what, it's no degree like a BA degree that's born again. Back to you, Dr. Walker. That's my
amen.
Like that. And, you know, on that note, you all, we're clearly out of time. In places every God has called you to do something, I want you all to really think seriously on that. When God calls you to do something and you're not doing it, there are some serious implications that can follow with that. You don't ever want to say no to God. We may say no to each other in certain things, but when it comes to God, and how do you know that you know? Because that's when you develop that relationship with him. God will compel you to move when you didn't think that you were supposed to move. God will open up doors that no man can close. God will close doors that no man can open. In your life, when you start to doing it the way that God has instructed it to do, you know, he puts things in place. He aligns things for his purpose, his will. And you will find that when you get into the alignment of God's will and God's purpose and his direction, his intentions, life will go for you almost like the guys who practice or the ladies who practice the waves, trying to get on their surfboards and catch a wave. That's what they're trying to do, catching a wave. When you get out here and you're doing it the way that God has aligned it, and you will catch God's wave, and you will always ride the high waves, even though trials and tribulations will come at you. But God's got you because he called you. He called you, and he says, many are called, but few are chosen. When God chooses you, you got favor. You've got favor, and you don't have to worry about anything. All you got to do is have the willingness to allow God to use you. On that note, we're clearly out of time, you all, and I charge all of you all, listen to the voice of God. Establish that relationship with him by looking at his word every single day, and I can guarantee you he will speak to you, and you will ride God's way, and that's the best ride that you will ever have in your life. How do I know? Because I experience it every day. And I'm certain that certain of you all are out there doing the same thing because God is true to his word. Pastor Roe, you said it earlier, that you know what? That we need to be true to our words. Demon Slayer, you said it also. We need to be true to our word. And all of us know it on this program. Be true to your word, especially because you know what? God does not lie. He doesn't lie. And when you're going through your trials and tribulations, find one of his over 3,500 promises in his Bible, in the Bible, and put God's word back to him and watch the manifestation of his glory. Listen, we're out of time. I got to get off this show. Listen, thank all of you all for joining and participating with us tonight. Those of you all we weren't able to get to tonight, call in at least a little earlier. Press 1 on your dial if you want to speak. Listen, we'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. And if you choose to bypass next Thursday, we'll be back here next Friday for your one-hour inspirational programming. Until next Thursday or until next Friday, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
good night,
everyone.
Good night,
very good show tonight.
Great comments, Sister J and Brother Lorenzo. Great comments. I always enjoy listening to you. God bless you.
Thank you.
You too, Pastor Rose.